Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Many college students are wrapping up their semesters and heading home for the holidays. With all of the stress of attending college, some students, particularly first-year students, might be considering quitting college. When you think of your family, how many students have graduated college in 4 years? What can we do to encourage our young people to stay in college? And when is it time to call it quits? Leaving college or staying is right after the news.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonia Gonzalez. President-elect Donald Trump says he will solve the Dakota Access oil pipeline issue very quickly when he gets into office. Speaking on Fox News over the weekend, Trump did not elaborate what he meant by solving the issue. He said he didn't intend to make enemies on either side because it could be resolved by the time he takes office January 20th. If not, he said, quote, something will happen and it'll happen quick. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers this month halted work to burrow the oil pipeline under the Missouri River near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, at least until there's further environmental review. Meanwhile, many of the protesters camped out at the construction site are heading home for the time being. Standing Rock Sioux Chairman Dave Archambault II asked people to leave for their own safety and to gather strength in case they're needed again in the future. His request is backed up by a coalition of environmental groups helping organize resistance to the pipeline. Spokane tribal officials say a designation they received from the federal government earlier this year is paving the way for some projects to help both the tribe and non-tribal communities. Steve Jackson has more.
Last June, the Spokane tribe was selected to be designated a Promise Zone, a title bestowed on only 22 communities nationwide. The designation gives them preference opportunities when they apply for federal grants. So far, that designation has allowed the tribe to secure $1 million for a suicide prevention program. Tribal Business Chairwoman Carol Evans says other projects that could come to fruition with anticipated federal funding include new ways to generate power on the reservation.
We're an indigenous people, so we care about the environment. So part of the Promise Zone is a renewable energy component. Whether we're developing solar power or biodiesel, or we're looking at things that are good to the environment. So we have actually applied for grants to do studies, feasibility studies, on those type of projects.
Communities that partner with the tribe can also benefit from the Promise Zone designation. Planning is already underway to find funding for the town of Airway Heights, where the tribe is building its new hotel and casino project, to fund improvements to the community's sewer and water treatment facilities. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
The steady South Dakota wind is now helping power radio transmissions throughout the Pine Ridge Reservation and several other nearby communities. KILI, known as Keeley Radio, is called the voice of the Lakota Nation. And now the station's new wind turbine is online. As Lee Strubinger reports, the turbine is part of Keeley's mission to run on sustainable energy.
Electricians put the finishing touches on the new wind turbine this month, thanks to a $100,000 grant from the Department of Interior. It replaces a 20-year-old refurbished wind turbine installed in 2008 that never worked correctly. Arlo Ironcloud is a DJ for Keeley Radio. He says combining wind energy with their already existing solar collection will eventually produce 20% of the station's electrical needs. He says the alternative power helps because energy sources on the reservation are unreliable.
Power is always an issue here for us. When the power does go out, typically, you would have a generator to kick in, especially for public radio, but those things are still in the works here at the station.
Ironcloud says the turbine advances Keeley's mission of going green.
Especially now with what's going on in Standing Rock, because that move up there is not about stopping a pipeline specifically per se. It's more of a statement, the statement that this world needs to move to renewable energies, and that's what we're doing here at Keeley Radio, and that's what we want the world to reflect on.
Keeley also has solar panels on the south-facing roof. The station is Lakota-owned and operated. It broadcasts across the Pine Ridge Reservation from Porcupine Butte with a translator in Rapid City. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in South Dakota.
And I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 6th annual Striking Eagle Basketball Tournament and Education Fair beginning December 28th. Information on the event and services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. For colleges and universities across the nation, the semester is about wrapping up. And some Native students who are finishing their first semester might be thinking, what is the point of all of this? Do I really belong here? Perhaps these students are homesick and need a good dose of home to prep them for the next semester. But there are those who are really struggling to meet the expectations of college, and it's weighing heavy on them. And when the struggles become too much, thoughts of dropping out might surface. That's where some good advice and information may come in hand. And what more can we do to help our Native students make the best decision about staying in school? And when is it time to call it quits and try something else? That's our discussion today. Give us a call and share your thoughts on our toll-free line, 1-800-99-NATIVE or 1-800-996-2848. And now joining us from Tempe, Arizona, is Dr. Amanda Tachini, and she is a postdoctoral scholar for the Center of Indian Education at Arizona State University, and Amanda is Navajo. Welcome to the hour, Amanda.
Hello, Yate.
Thanks for being with us. Also on the line from St. Louis, Missouri, is April Joe. She's a Master's of Social Work candidate at Brown School of Social Work at Washington University. And April is Navajo. Welcome to the hour, April.
Oh, hello, Yate, everybody. Thank you for having me today.
Indeed. And ladies, I think this is an important conversation to be having, especially this time of year. There are a lot of students who are wrapping up their semester, packing up their bags. Some of them are packing them for good that they don't want to return back. And so let's explore this a little bit more. Amanda, let's go ahead and start with you and thinking back to that moment where you did want to quit. I believe it was your first year of college. Tell me more.
Yeah, I definitely can connect to those of you students who may second guess yourself on why am I in college. It really started my freshman year, but it also, you know, I just finished with my doctorate degree, and I can't deny that it continued to be woven in my thoughts throughout the entire journey, where I stopped and thought, is this really the right place to be? And if I was to really pinpoint of what was those reasons, it really was wrapped around thinking about my family. You know, I think a lot of us think about whether it's we have a death in the family, or it's financial stress that it may pose on our family or on ourselves. So definitely that was threaded throughout of my reasons of, you know, why I wanted to maybe think about stepping out of college. But also I think, too, what students can face is sometimes I would question myself sitting in the classroom thinking, do these students really understand who I am as a Navajo woman? And do I go there and say what's really on my mind when they might look at me weird or, you know, think of me somehow, as we say in Navajo, or are saying somehow, you know, and I question myself and my place in campus. So those are just some of the examples of when I thought in my own mind, is this really the place for me to be? And could I help my family in other ways, you know, get a job and support my family? So it's been my journey throughout my entire time. So I can relate to those students who may be thinking about that.
And Amanda, when you throw yourself back into the studies, what do you find once you answer some of those questions and think about what you're studying and why you're studying?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking that question. So, you know, as I was thinking through that in my own experience, I started digging into the research because I did research on Native American college students' persistence. And it maybe in a way was for me to understand a little bit about my own, but it's really to understand my classmates, my little siblings who are coming up, my nephews and nephews, and my all the Native students that I've been encountered, is to understand a little bit about why are we questioning ourselves and why is the dropout rate or withdrawal rates in college so high. And so when you dig into the research, there's a lot of great work that's been done by our scholars in the field who talk about Native students, especially in their first year, trying to find what's called a sense of belonging. So this idea of like finding a place and feeling connected to the institution that they're attending, often our Native students, it takes time to find that place. And it's because they're dealing with some real huge issues like racism, you know, that's definitely current on our campuses. And so some of the research that I've done is I've heard stories Native students talk about encountering experiences where they question their identity because of racist or stereotypical comments that were directed toward them or even on social media that made them question my place here. And so there's also this idea of sometimes our Native students feel like their culture is not validated on campus. The ways in which we see and lived our lives growing up is sometimes a disjuncture in college. And so students then think, is this really the place for me? So what I was experiencing as a student was connected to the research that people have been writing about, you know, is that these are real experiences that our students are facing. I can go on and on about the research up there, but I'll start with that.
And, you know, just hearing some of your thoughts this morning, a lot of times we prepare our students to go to school. We want them to get degrees. But sometimes there comes that time where a student questions, should I keep going, especially around mid-semester. And folks, is this a conversation that you have budding with your student? Have you seen signs of it? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And maybe you worked through it and got over this bump. What was it that turned things around? What helped you get refocused? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And April, when you think of your own experience, you didn't experience one wanting to go home, drop out, until your junior year of college. What was your story, April?
Yeah, so my journey was a little bit different. I was born on the Navajo Nation and grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And when it was time for me to go to college, I was really, really excited about it. I felt like it was time for me to explore, you know, some new things about myself and just as a student. And so I was fortunate when I went to college and did my undergraduate studies, I was a part of a summer bridge program, which was a one-month program prior to my freshman year, and lived on campus, got to know a lot of my classmates, built a really strong support system through just peer support. And I was going to a school where there were very, very few Native students at the institution. And so I found support and connection with a lot of the other students of color on campus. And so that support really helped me through my freshman and sophomore year. But like you mentioned, something my junior year just kind of hit me hard where I just felt like I didn't have any more energy to keep going. There were also a lot of things going on campus during that time, a lot of social issues. Speaking to what Amanda was talking about, you know, racism happening on campus, different issues were happening, and there were some protests and movements going on, and just also feeling like you're as a Native student on a campus that has very few Native students, just feeling really like marginalized and questioning whether I could continue going. And I still remember being in my dorm room calling my mom and telling her, like, come and get me. Come and get me. I need to go home. Like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And I'm so thankful, though, that my mom she's always been a major support person in my life and really the person who inspired me and motivated me to pursue my education, like my more formal Western education, and always made that like priority since I remember stepping foot in my kindergarten class. She's been that person for me. And she was just like, April, like, I know you can do it. I know you can continue going. You're almost there. You know, you have like a little more than a year left before you're going to get your bachelor's degree. Like, this is a big deal. And she refused to come and get me. And I appreciate that now because I imagine, like, you know, I don't know what it would have been like if she would have came and picked me up. I don't know exactly where my journey would have led me. But because of her, it really helped continue on the path of my education. And, you know, and then, of course, relying on my peer support group that I had there on campus was really, really helpful. So yeah, but I know what it's like to want to quit and just wanting to, you know, maybe take a break or what have you. There's a lot of challenges that impact Native students, I feel.
Indeed. And also want to know what it feels like to be that parent, getting that call of your young one calling and sharing a story like April. And you know, what did it take to say, hang in there? No, I'm not coming to get you. Maybe you did go and get them. Tell us your story. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and say hello to another caller. We have Danielle in Fort Yates, North Dakota, tuned in on KLND. Danielle, thank you for calling, and go ahead. You're on air.
For taking my call. I'm from Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, but I'm here at Standing Rock doing a training on ear acupuncture. And I'd just like to say that when I went to college after high school, I was terrified. I didn't leave my dorm room for 4 days after I got to South Dakota State University. And then my first semester, I was on scholastic probation because I didn't have good study skills. So I had to get tutors and learn how to study. But even though I went home on weekends quite a bit because I was lonesome, I still went back and finished. And then 10 years later, I got a scholarship, American scholarship, to the University of California at Berkeley. That was another culture shock. I didn't even know how to ride a bus when I got out to California. And I thought because it was August, I should take summer clothes. Well, I got out there and it was cold and wet, and I was not prepared for the weather at all. But there were good supports at Berkeley for Native students. And I got through that. And having that degree has really given me a lot of doors that have been opened. But I'd also like to add to the people in Fort Yates that this training that I'm doing here at the Tribal Administration is a really good opportunity. It's free. I'm looking for young adults who are unemployed who want to learn this technique so they can do the five-point ear acupuncture and help their families with stress reduction and
sure, growing some of that out, too. And you know what? It's interesting. I just saw an article on this very topic, so must be in the air. Danielle, thank you for your call there in Fort Yates, North Dakota. And folks, we want you to join the conversation, too. We're hearing from folks sharing their story. Does hearing this help you? Maybe you're one of those students who's fretting over your next semester. Should you go home? Should you stay? And what about telling your family how you're feeling? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Amanda, anything for our caller, Danielle?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to add, Danielle, I appreciate you sharing your story about staying in your room for the first 4 days, because you're not unlike other Native students that I've encountered and even that I've, you know, worked with in research, because oftentimes college campuses, families, if you're listening, you probably hear a lot when you're going to the orientation that they do so much to integrate your students into the campus. And I think colleges really pride themselves on doing that work, especially the first two weeks. It's the time to integrate, is what their frame they say, into the campus. But as we are finding in our research, but our Native students are staying in their room. You know, they're trying to find their way, but they're not getting involved in some of those programs. But that's not their fault. that they're not. So I want to put that out there, that I think sometimes to acknowledge, Danielle, that those experiences do occur, but also to really acknowledge that institutions really should be doing a better job at how and ways that they can outreach to Native students in particular. So I know this conversation is really on how Native students could get to be inspired and encouraged to do, to get connected to the campus. But I think we also need to talk about institutions' role, that there's institutions out there listening to this, that it's their role to also get connected to our Native students. But what I found that when Native students, when they do find that connection, there's places on campus that they find a connection. It's often the Native American Cultural Centers. So if Native students are not connected to those places or to those specific people, I encourage families to talk to them about that. Say, hey, does your university or college have a Native American center? And sometimes our Native students don't know about it or they don't go. And so I would really encourage families and folks to say, you should check it out and meet them. And sometimes I think the students would be surprised that parents know about it, but those resources are out there. And if there isn't a culture center, there's a Native American club organization, or there's a Native staff or faculty. And I find that when students are connected to some, that's when in the research they say, then I find a home away from home. I find a community. I feel like I start feeling this sense of belonging is when they connect with people who are like-minded, who understand my culture and my worldview. So I would encourage those parents to have that conversation and say, hey, have you checked out the Native Center? You know, I think they had one there. And encourage them to take make a connection there with those people.
All right, Amanda, great advice. Folks, maybe you have advice too. Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. April, anything to add?
Well, I just wanted to say that I appreciate Danielle calling in and sharing her story as well. I think that sometimes, you know, when you're when you're in the middle of midterms or finals and you're really stressed out and just going through a lot, it's important to know, like, you're not alone, and that, like, there have been a number of Native students who've been able to push through many of those barriers. And just reaching out to those support systems, if they are Native-focused programs and support systems, or if they're, you know, there for other interests, other identities and people of color, for instance, support systems, multicultural support systems, because sometimes I know some of our Native students are at schools where there aren't Native-focused programming. And services. And so just trying to find those places that are going to be able to help support the student. It's also really interesting, too, because I used to work at Dinette College, the first tribal college in the United States, located on the Navajo Nation. And even at a school where it's 90% Navajo students, the tuition rate was very reasonable. There were still a number of other factors that were impacting student success. And so something to keep in mind when Native students are going off to college, you know, and we're talking about the institution stepping up and supporting our students, you got to understand, like, the social, historical context our students are coming into these systems to. You know, there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of impact of historical trauma, substance use issues that are impacting our families and our communities. And so our students are coming with a lot of different challenges and barriers that I believe impact their success as a student in college, and is one of the main reasons I decided to pursue my degree in social work, because I want to see what role I can have in impacting some of those issues in our community so that our students can be more successful, whether it's in college or in life and work, you know, to be able to live a productive, healthy, and positive life, I think is really important to think about. So there's a number of things that are impacting our Native student success right now, but I agree, like, when you can find those support systems are really important. I mean, even me here at the Brown School of Social Work, I'm very fortunate that the institution here has the Booter Center of American Indian Studies. It's a place, it's a safe haven for me to come to interact with the other Native students who are here in the graduate program. And, you know, even being a non-traditional student in graduate school right now, you know, it's been really hard. Even though I have really good support systems, it's been hard to get through this first semester here. But having places to go to and people and peer connection has been really effective in my personal success so far, but also I think in many Native students' success in higher ed.
Indeed. And folks, is this conversation providing any hope to any of you students or parents out there? Call in and share 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and say hello to Tammy in Bradenton, Florida, who's tuned in. Tammy, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hi, this is Tammy, and I have some stories to share with you. You know, I have two kids that are in college, and one there in her master's program. I think that when you set your kids out to go to school, you know, you put a lot into it. You know, you have high hopes for them. There's a lot of preparation, your application, your SATs, your essays, everything, and then the decision-making of where they're going to go. And when they do go, you know, there are times when they run into struggles. There's a lot of struggles that they're faced with, and we don't know their struggles. And as parents, you know, we worry about them. And I think as parents, we kind of feel, you know, we can sense that there's something going on, whether it's school, you know, they're struggling, and you want to find your way to help them. And my kids, I've always told them, you know, I told them there's, you know, go look for the resources. Go, there's a support system there somewhere. You know, get some help. Whether it's a struggle in a class with a teacher, a professor, you know, talk to them. They'll help you. They'll walk you through it. And I think as parents, Native parents, we have to really encourage our kids and be very supportive behind them, because we want them to have a good life, but in return to give back to your people. And that's how I've always felt with my kids. And I'm hoping, you know, that's the road that they're going to go down. And they've had a very, very good support system from family.
And that's important. Sure. That's really important, Tammy. And what about being the parent who said, nope, I'm not going to come get you?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because I think when your child tells you that, you have to really listen to them. And you know your child. You know what your kid can take, what they can go through, what they can handle. And when they tell you, you know what, I really want to come home. I'm homesick. I'm really struggling at school. You know, sometimes as a parent, you just have to tell them, you know, you can't. You have to just believe in yourself. You can do this. You can do it. And sometimes
those words,
sure,
those words, they go a long way. Tammy, thank you for your call there in Florida. Folks, we want you to join us too. Have you had that conversation with your student? How did it go? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. We're hearing a lot about support on campus. What do you think about that? Any more advice to add? 1-800-99-NATIVE. In different Native circles, some feel decolonization is an act of rejecting colonial institutions and ideologies. And for some, it also means cutting out certain things from your diet. Have you tried to decolonize your Native life? Have you encouraged others to do the same? Join us for the next Native America Calling for a discussion on decolonization.
Hami Takipiki. Medicare is your prescription for a healthy life. For anyone with Medicare, Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up for or switch your Part D plan during open enrollment from October 15 to December 7. For more information, visit www.medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Doksake.
A world-class education is within your reach at SIPI, the Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute in Albuquerque. This historic National Indian Community College, located in the center of New Mexico's agriculture and technology corridor, offers affordable two-year degrees in science, engineering, liberal arts, and career technical training. Spring enrollment information is at sipi.edu. You can expect success when you take charge of your future today.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and it's great to have you tuned in. If today's program is something you'd like to share with others, you can find it on our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, and also Stitcher. And you can also find today's discussion archived on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And today we're discussing leaving college in our Native nations. We spend a lot of energy encouraging our young people to get an education. But what happens after we finally send them off to college and then they start struggling? What about when parents or family members get that phone call that their student is wanting to come home? What is the best advice? Dial in 1-800-99-NATIVE. Call and share. And if you've had this experience, the number to reach us is also 1-800-996-2848. And also, if you have a student who doesn't want to go back to school because bigger things in life are calling them that don't include sitting in a classroom, what do you do then? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and take our first call. We're going to say hi to Chrissy in Fort Apache, Arizona, tuned in on KNNB. Chrissy, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
So one of my impressions from walking away with the degree from ASU was that after going to school, I understood that not only is the student going to school, but the whole family is going to school with the student. So sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of understanding and support from the family to help a student through, but also, you know, the student should, you know, let the parents know, give them a weekly update or even, you know, a monthly update of their class schedule and things that are going on during the month, such as finals or papers that are due. That could really help, you know, the parent understand what the child is going through or the student is going through. And also getting involved in student organizations, not only Native student organizations, but general, like, having fun organizations. The school that I graduated, ASU, they had all kinds of student organizations, like Quidditch Club, you know. They had any kind of interest club out there that a student would be interested in. And so I really felt like having those options and avenues to socialize is really important.
All right, Chrissy, thank you for sharing. And you had something else?
Also that, you know, joining student study clubs or study groups with each individual class is really important, too. And that can help you get, you know, study time in while also getting to know your fellow students. That's how I survived school, is getting a group of students together for study groups. That really helped me out a lot.
It did. And Chrissy, I got to second that, because then you have a group of people that you can talk about the work with. And sometimes just articulating or being able to just talk about it, it makes it stick to you even better. And then there you are at the test and you're like, oh, I already talked about this. Fill in answer B with confidence. Chrissy, thank you for your call. Great to hear from you and hear your advice. You can give us a ring too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you'd like to join us on social media, feel free. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's take another call. We're going to say hello to Virgil in Gallup, New Mexico, tuned in on KGLP. Virgil, thank you for giving us a ring. And go ahead, share your thoughts.
Yate Keshmes from Gallup, New Mexico, down here on 3rd and 66th. wonderful topic today. You know what? Back in the 70s, I graduated from Tohatchee High School back in 72 with a group of 72 classmates. Then I went on my adventure by way of my father's consent and direction. My dad was the force behind my plans and my goals, my objectives and my life forward. That was him having me want to go to school onward into the college realm. And I did. I succeeded. But the beginnings of the entrance to the new world back in the 70s, oh my gosh. I'm from a little town of two gas stations on the res and no transit system, zero at all. Gallup was our major city within the, 30-mile radius of Tohatchee, and that's where I was raised, and I grew up and graduated from high school back in 72. But with the insistence of my father, it was all tough love, like the young lady was stressing, crying and begging to be picked up and being lonely in your room for 4 days, how many ever days. And it was at that time, yes, you have you yourself as a human being, you're running amok with all of the emotions, physical, mental, finances, except all of it was a snowballing effect in one's life. And you're bombarded by the culture, the new wave of whatever was going on back in the 70s. And it's just a major impact for me that I even survived my years in college because all of the rampant social rages sure. that were going on.
And you know, Virgil, that was definitely a critical time where the outside world was definitely calling on people in, you know, school and you know, to go out and maybe see something, you know, out there or a cause you felt really strong with. Virgil, it's great to walk down memory lane with you and hear about your experience and sticking with it. And sometimes when we hear these stories, we're reminded of our own. And perhaps maybe your story was struggling in college. What did you do to stay put and keep following that journey? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. You can join us, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and take another call. We're going to hear from Clarence in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Clarence, thanks for calling, and you're on air.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on the air. I just want to say that, you know, it's very hard sometimes for the first-timers who are coming to the academia world to actually open up because it's a bigger community from where he or she may come from, you know, and there's a lot of navigation that really has to happen and needs to happen on both sides is welcoming the first comers, first of all, to academia and making sure that they're comfortable. I myself was in that same boat several years back. And, you know, just having someone to support you. And the most biggest thing I found that was helpful is having the leaders from your community, from where he or she may come from, is having that tie and acknowledging your efforts coming from your leaders and actually coming and checking up or sending a representative from his or she's a community to see how their students are actually doing and what are their achievements, what are their biggest hurdles that he or she needs to overcome. But, you know, it is hard, and sometimes natives are kind of shy. They don't speak up. And also it's, you know, culturally, depending on where he or she may come from, you know, we always listen to our elders. We don't talk out of turn unless you're given the floor to talk to. And that sometimes is a big hurdle also because we do, too, see our professors as our elders, too. And sometimes, you know, being the first time in college, it is kind of like it is scary at first. But then you need to make connections. And then also, you know, having ties to the outside community, meaning native communities, taking part and being part of a community, going to feast days, and, you know, having maybe a round table, a forum just for Native students where you can sit and talk and actually hear their story as being a first-timer, having that encouragement of keep going. How was it like for you? What were your closest ties to individuals who assisted you with overcoming your fears and
you
moving
know, Clarence,
forward? And,
sure, Clarence, you know, being able to even just talk with your peers who might be feeling some of this, I think that opens up a lot. And I like your idea, too, about that support coming from home and tribal leaders. We get different tribal newspapers, and often you see some of that support right there in tribal newspapers. What do you think about that, that some of that support comes from your outer community and maybe even tribal leaders? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Clarence, thanks for giving us a ring. Let's go ahead and bring back our guests on the line with us today. We have April Joe. She's a Master of Social Work candidate at the Brown School of Social Work at Washington University. Also with us is Dr. Amanda Tacchini, and she is a postdoctoral scholar for the Center of Indian Education at Arizona State University. Both of them come to us from the Navajo Nation. And ladies, I just want to get your take. We're hearing some good stuff on the line. April, anything to start us off with?
I was thinking a lot about those who called in and just the strength that they had to continue through, you know, even regardless of the barriers and the challenges. And one of the things that I hope will bring some inspiration to some of our Native students out there right now who are going through some challenges academically or personally is that, you know, our people, Native people, we're very strong and we're very resilient, you know. And there's a lot of positivity to reconnecting to our culture and our traditions to help us power through our education. For me, as a student who didn't grow up on the reservation, it wasn't until my undergraduate experience that I started to become more interested in learning more about my culture and my identity. And once I felt very empowered to do that, that has really helped me in many of the different experiences I've had over the years and is definitely helping me a lot now being here in graduate school. And so, you know, I want to talk about just that strength and looking at things from like a strength-based perspective and like how us as Native people are very resilient and how we can use that to be successful as a student in higher education.
All right. Thanks for that, April. Again, folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. What do you do when you get at that intersection where your student is thinking twice about their college career? Maybe even thinking about dropping out. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. What advice should we be giving to our young people about staying in college? 1-800-996-2848 is the number too. Amanda, anything to add?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, speaking from the heart, you know, and hearing all these stories, I can't express how powerful it is for family. Everybody's been talking about family. Family is such a huge factor for our Native students to be successful. And we talk a lot about, yeah, the institution can help, have a culture center. Those are very important, but at the end of the day, it's our family. So if mom and aunties and grandmas and grandpas, if you're listening out there, continue to say the good words to your children, your babies, about going to college. Inspire them because you don't realize how many times those stories is what gets our students through the day when they're ready to quit. They shared with me, when I'm ready to quit, I think about my grandma. And I think about how she's struggling and how I want to help her. And I think of her stories of she tells me about boarding school and how she went through it, then I can get through it. So our stories and our grandmothers and our family matter. And I also want to share that our prayers matter. When the students, they tell me, and in my own experience too, when I'm ready to quit, it's going back to whatever I was taught on how to pray and seeking strength in that. And students say, like, that's what I remember when my grandma and I see my mom when she was struggling. I would see her pray, and I pray now in college.
I pray and I ask for support. Give me the strength to get through these finals. Give me the money, the $20, so I can just get the last food to last me this week. Give me the strength to not worry so much about my family because I'm apart. So if I can share anything, families and students, is know that prayers is what can help you get through these tough times in school. And family, open up to them and share them your stories of struggles too. Go to grandma. If she shared it with you, she's going to be open to hearing and sharing words of wisdom for you too. And I like what April said, is we have so much strength in our family and our culture and our teachings. That's going to what get us through the end of the day when we're ready to quit in anything, is to recall on those teachings that we were told.
Amanda, thank you for that. And, you know, this is definitely the season of family and, you know, those important moments that maybe you might have coming up, reconnecting with some student that has been at school. Anything you're excited to tell them about, maybe even encouraging them to stay in school? 1-800-996-2848. Let's take another call. We're going to hear from Levine in Bellingham, Washington. Levine, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hello. I'm also from the Navajo Nation, and I'm going to school here in Bellingham, Washington at Northwest Indian College. And I just wanted to say that support systems in colleges really work for students. I was part of the student executive board here at the Indian College on the Lummi Reservation, and we really found out as a board that having students together and having them in a group talk together about their problems and issues that they face in college, it really helps for them to let it out as a group of students on campus. That's one of the good positive energy type group community activities that really helps when students decide to think about either going home or feeling homesick or just wanting to quit and do something else. So that really seems to help as far as helping students who want to quit in the college atmosphere.
All right. Thank you for that, Levine. Great to hear from you there in Bellingham. And ladies, earlier I mentioned, you know, what about if you feel like something bigger in life is calling you to put down the books, to jump out of school? What do you do then? What kind of advice do you have about this kind of decision, or parents who are hearing from their students, I need to take a break, I need to go pursue something, maybe even jump on the campaign trail, or even make a trip somewhere where there's a lot of activism? Any thoughts?
I would probably, I guess some thoughts actually that I have, I think back to my time at Dene College, working in academic advisement and having students come into my office and, you know, sharing with me their thoughts about not continuing or taking a break. And I guess the advice I have for people who are in that situation or thinking those things is really to take time to assess your situation. You know, if you can do that, really looking at, okay, what are all my options and what are the pros and cons of those different options? There were a number of times I would talk these types of conversations out with students to really get an idea. Is it a good time for me? Do I really need to take a break right now? And if you need to take a break, it's okay. You know, that's the other thing I want to share with students. If you really feel like you need to take a break, you've assessed all your options and your situation, it's okay to take a break, you know, and it's always okay to come back as well. And so really looking at the options, looking at the pros and cons of those options and making a decision from there, and knowing that if you're going to take a break, you're going to have something that's going to continue to be positive in your life that you're going to pursue or engage with. Because, you know, a college and university life is not for everybody, and that's fine. But really being able to know, is this the right decision? Taking time to think about that's important versus just making a decision within a few minutes and not really thinking about it, you know, and thinking the impact that might have. So that's something I would share.
All right. Thanks for that. And Amanda, for you, are there any circumstances where you would recommend that a student go ahead and leave?
Yeah, you know, I've had some really tough conversations similar to April and working in Native Student Affairs where,
you can really tell that in their spirit, like a Native student is really hurting their well-being. So when you're thinking about it, it's like looking at them holistically, seeing whether the financial aid looks like their financial, looking at also their emotional, their spiritual, you know, looking at all of the factors that go into a person. And there's been a couple times, and it's not many times, where I can see that a student's well-being is depleted, that their spirit is really low, and they need to take, and this emotional, you know, it's connected to their health and so forth, they need to take time off. And so, and you can tell from the sincereness that they're it's just really hard to stay if they were. And so I've had those conversations with students, okay, if this is where you feel, like, I support you. So it's having those conversations, I support you. And they always say, like, and I'll come back. And it's really nurturing that relationship. Okay, I will support you. This is your decision. And they understand the consequences should, like, scholarship may lose scholarships. You know, it's having those really honest conversations of the consequences should they decide to leave too. And then they look through all of, like what April said, all that may happen. But if it's their decision, that's their decision. And to continue to support, like, you know what? College is going to be here too. I think that's another thing, is we often think it's our time is so limited. And to some extent it is. But to some extent it's like, okay, let's take a break to heal yourself and then return. There's nothing wrong with coming back. And you're ready, like, with strength. And so those conversations that have happened, and it's really getting to know the person and really looking at it holistically and at their well-being of their spirit. If it's depleted, oftentimes you can see it by just seeing them. So it's hard. Those conversations are really hard. But I think if you have it with an open heart and an open mind, I think that they can really get to, they see your support. And then they know that they can come back.
All right. Thank you for that, Amanda. I got another caller we're going to go to. And again, folks, if you want to reach out, you can send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you're listening to this program in our archives, you can comment directly on our website. Let's go ahead and say hello to Gregory in Bethel, Alaska, tuned in on KYUK. Gregory, thank you for your call. And go ahead. You're on air.
Yo, good morning.
Hello.
A voice of encouragement for those in post-secondary to not be discouraged by, I've got this all figured out in my head there, trying to get it out through my voice there is totally different. But to not be put down by others there who are filled with high expectation for one attending, and then coming to roadblocks there during the educational process, there to not be downtrodden by their views there, just to keep that heart and strength of spirit there to carry on. And again, voice of encouragement to carry on for everyone in post-secondary. And
all right.
That's what I went through there. And everything that I've heard there on the program, the loneliness, the lack of support, or not seeking it there. I'm a junior in school, turns out that I'm smarter than I was in high school.
Gregory, I think you've given us a lot of good stuff to think about. And, you know, just that simple encouragement of hanging in there. I think that goes a very long way. And we're getting ready to wrap up this hour. What about resources? Is there anything you would like to direct folks to as we think about this? And, you know, definitely want to leave students with, you know, that encouragement that Gregory put on the table. April, any resources you'd like to share?
I'd actually like to share about an organization, College Horizons. It's a Native American nonprofit organization located in Bernalillo, New Mexico. They are a great organization in providing support for Native American students, high school students who are pursuing post-secondary, but also for Native American college and graduate students or graduates who are considering graduate school. If you look on their website at collegehorizons.org, you'll see some resources and information about the summer programs they run. And so that's a resource I'd like to share with everybody.
Thank you for that. And Amanda, any resources to share?
Yeah, I'd like to share that there's a really great Twitter social media group. There's several that students can tap into. The Inspire Native Youth is one. And so they often send a lot of information for Native college students, but they also send out some really cool inspirational stories so that Native students are centered. So that's from George Washington University. I also like to encourage that the NIEA, the National Indian Education Association, has some really great resources on their website. The scholarships, there's also information and research and so forth. So definitely check that out. That's a great hub for parents and as well as students. And so once there, you'll be directed to multiple different outlets of support. There's a lot of good support out there. Hashtag Native College and just see what comes up too on Twitter as well as in Facebook, because I think there's a lot of momentum growing on how we can support Native college students. And so use some of those hashtags to see what can come up.
All right. I'm going to have to do that myself. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our program today. And I do appreciate all the voices we heard in this hour, including our guests, April Joe and Amanda, Dr. Amanda Tacchini. We are back again tomorrow with a show about decolonization. And what exactly does it mean? Have you taken steps to decolonize yourself? We'll find out tomorrow. Thanks to the Native America Calling crew, our executive producer, Art Hughes, senior producer, Monica Brain, associate producer, Andy Murphy. Also, thanks to Roman Garcia for engineering today's show. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. And we look forward to welcoming you back to our electronic talking circle tomorrow when we sign on air. While you're at it, visit us online, NativeAmericaCalling.com.
Support by the American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association, IANTA, presenting a two-day Go International training event January 9th and 10th to introduce tribes to the international tourism market. Training will cover selling internationally, creating a tourism product, working with the media, and more. More information, including registration, available by calling IANTA at 505-724-3592. Support by Chickasaw Press, presenting Mission to Space, Chickasaw astronaut John Harrington's story of making his youthful dreams of going to space a reality. Holiday delivery of this children's book available on orders placed at chickasawpress.com by December 21st. Support by Ramona Farms, wholesome and delicious heirloom crops for a better diet to benefit all people. Christmas delivery of foods from our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions available on orders placed by December 15th online at store.ramonafarms.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.